part of the job is crowd control. Take your Bibles if you would, please. Or if you don't have a Bible with you, I'd encourage you grab one off of the chair in front of you or ask somebody down the line, hey, can you loan me a Bible? And open to Psalm 67. I always encourage you to follow along because I want to share with you the Word of God and I want you to hear it and to follow along and to make sure that what I'm teaching and preaching is coming from God's Word. It is great having kids, isn't it? It is so good for us to have children in church. And I hope that, let us never become to the age where we're like, oh, those children, they make noise and they run around and they grab the microphone and they make crumbs. Let's never get there, okay? Let's say, praise God, thank you for these children. Let's pray for their parents and grandparents. All right, if you're new or visiting with us, we are studying through the Psalms one by one on Sunday mornings. Why are we going through the Psalms? Well, this is the Word of God. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness. And part of our training in righteousness is training in how to think and how to pray and how to live. And you're going to see Psalm 67 is all of that. Training us how to pray and how to think and how to live for the glory of God. The title of the message this morning, Bless Us to Bless Them, Psalm 67. To the chief musician on stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. So this was to be sung in public worship because it's teaching something and it's guiding everyone's thinking. God be merciful to us and bless us. And cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, pause, meditate, think. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah, pause, meditate, think. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. I want to begin by asking you a question. It is a long one. You might want to write it out because this is going to serve as our guide for studying this psalm. Okay? If you're not going to write it out, just think of it, keep it in mind. Here's the question. Could God's blessings upon us be for the good of the gospel and for the joy of many people and for the praise and glory of God and for a great spiritual harvest in eternity? That's all one question. But there are kind of four parts, right? Could God's blessings upon us be for the good of the gospel and for the joy of many people and for the praise and glory of God and for a great spiritual harvest in eternity? Think about that. Because that is the thinking of the psalmist. That is the mindset of the man who wrote Psalm 67. And we're not told who it was, but one thing is crystal clear. This is someone who has a heart for the nations, but it begins with a request that God would bless us. So we're going to walk through this psalm, and I want you to notice three things that are very obvious in the psalm, and then we're going to come back to this question, and we're going to answer it, because the answer to that question I just asked you is the main truth of the entire psalm. So three things I want you to notice as we walk through. Number one, you're going to notice the believer's prayer for blessing, and then the purpose of his prayer for blessing, and then the promise of blessing. All right, so notice first this believer's prayer for blessing. Very simply, verse 1, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Think about that. Pause. Meditate. Very simple prayer. It's not the only time you see something like this. He's simply asking that God would show him and those who are with him special favor. Notice it says first, God be merciful, or your Bible might say God be gracious. Is God gracious? Yes. And you know, we sometimes you say, well, God is good, what? All the time. And all the time, God is good. So why would you then pray, God be good, or God be merciful, God be gracious? Well, actually, he's not asking for God to be a certain kind of God. I mean, God is gracious. So he's not saying, God, please be a gracious kind of God. He is asking for God to do something. God be gracious is more, I think, more literally paraphrased, God, show us your special favor. Show us special grace. He's wanting God to do something. Now, you might recall that the Bible teaches in Exodus 33:19 that God will be gracious to, do you know? God will be gracious to whom he will be gracious. And God will have compassion on whom he will have compassion. God is sovereign over this. In other words, God decides to whom he will show special grace. God decides to whom he will show special compassion. And it's really part of his glory. God is sovereign over this. But does that mean that you can't ask for it? Not at all. No, in fact, you can and should. And the psalmist is saying, God, and he's praying not just for his own sake, but for the sake of his people, God, show us special grace. Show us special grace. Well, in what form? Take a look. God, be gracious or be merciful. Show us special grace and bless us. That's not much more specific yet, is it? Bless us. Just bestow blessing upon us. But then he gets a little more specific. And cause his face to shine upon us. Pause, meditate, think about that. God, cause his face to shine upon us. And on the third line there, it's not worded as a request. It's worded as a blessing. God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Think about that. Now, you might recall those words from Numbers chapter 6. When Moses was told, I want you to tell Aaron and his sons, I want you to tell the priests that they are to bestow blessing on the people of God by saying, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And this was to be a blessing pronounced upon the people of God. Here, the psalmist, whoever it is praying for his own sake and for the sake of his people. I'm wanting God to show us special grace. I'm wanting him to bless us, and I'm wanting him to turn his face towards us and shine his face on us. So let's think about what that means. What would it mean if God were to turn his face upon you and shine his face upon you? Well, it's an anthropomorphism. Okay, God is spirit. God is invisible. But biblically speaking, God has a face that he can turn towards you, or he can turn away from you. Now, when God turns his face towards you, think about it. His eyes are upon you to see you, to watch over you. And that's a request for his protection. His ears are turned towards you such that he hears your prayers. His mouth is towards you such that he speaks to you to give you guidance and wisdom and direction. And his hands are also faced towards you to help you. Another way of looking at it is that if his face is shining upon you, he can bless you with spiritual light and heat. Shine is a metaphor like the sun. Shine on us, and we sing that song, shine upon us. God can bless you with spiritual light and spiritual heat. Spiritual light is a metaphor for truth, and spiritual heat is a metaphor for passion. So let's think about this believer's prayer for blessing. God, show us your special favor. Bless us. Shine your face upon us. Turn your eyes to us to protect us. Turn your ears to us to be hearing our prayers. Turn your mouth towards us to give us truth and wisdom and direction and guidance. Shine upon us. Give us spiritual light and spiritual heat. Teach us your word and give us a passion to know it. Why? 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 For what? Well, here's where it gets interesting. Because he could have said, well, just so that we can be saved and so that everything can be good for us. Notice the believer's purpose in praying for God's special favor. Verse 2. So that your salvation may be known on the earth, your salvation among all the nations. How does he see that working? Bless us so that your way might be known on the earth. Bless us so that your salvation might be known among all the nations. How do you think that's going to happen? If you get a box of cookies, and it's your favorite kind, and you had a couple of those cookies last week, and boy, you could eat a lot more of those cookies because they're so good. How could that blessing possibly become a blessing for others? Only if you share. Only if you open it and share with others. It's the only way that can happen. The psalmist is believing, and he's praying in line with what he believes. He's believing we can ask for God to show us special favor in such a way that as a result of the special grace and favor shown upon us, somehow his way is going to become known on the earth and his salvation is going to become known among all the nations. That's pretty interesting. He's envisioning that once they get this blessing of God, they're not going to keep it to themselves. You could say, well, don't the nations already know God? And the Bible says, yes, they do. Romans 1 teaches that what may be known of God is manifest in them, speaking of the nations, of mankind. For God has shown it to them. For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. On the one hand, the nations already know God. On the other hand, they do not know him in a saving way. If I said to you, do all the nations know God, you should say yes. But if I said to you, do all the nations know the gospel of God, the answer clearly is no. Do all the nations worship the one true God? No. Are all the nations saved? Are the peoples out there worshiping the God of heaven? No. So let me ask you this. Has God blessed us to know the gospel? Should we keep it to ourselves? Well, we like the gospel. Us four, close the door, no more. We're happy where we are. It's so comfortable. Right? Yeah. We like the gospel, and we like preaching and teaching the gospel. We like sharing the gospel. We like reminding each other of the gospel. But wouldn't it be sad if all we ever did with the gospel is just consume it ourselves? Or if we go beyond that, wouldn't it be sad if we took all the blessings with which God has blessed us and just kept them all for ourselves? This psalmist is believing that he can pray to God for blessing for himself and his people, but the purpose of praying that way is not just for themselves, but for others. He's believing that the blessing of God upon them can be good for the gospel, and it can be even good for the gladness and the joy of the nations. Here's why he's praying that God's way would be made known. Take a look at verse 3. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. What do you think he has in mind? Listen, here's what he has in mind. God, show your special grace and mercy and favor upon us. Shine your face upon us. We will share it. And your way, we will share it. We will share it. And your way will become known on the earth. Your salvation will become known among the nations. And the people will come to know you, and they will have the same joy that we have. And they'll praise you like we praise you. Other people will be glad, and they'll sing songs. They'll join the chorus. And the blessing given to us will be for them, and not just for ourselves. This is his purpose in praying for blessing. You ever think of that? And we all pray, God bless us. But we don't all pray, God bless us, for other people's sake. We don't often think that way. We're very much caught up in our own, you know, hey, we got our own problems, we got our own lives, we're not thinking about other nations. A lot of times, this psalmist is. It's very convicting, but it's also very convincing. Very convincing. An individual can pray for himself and those with a father can pray for himself and his family. God bless me and my family so that our family will become a blessing to other families. A pastor can pray for himself and his whole flock. Or pastors, elders can pray for themselves and their whole flock. God bless us in a special way so that we as a church will become a blessing to many other people. A nation, and in this case, that's the case. A nation, a national leader, can pray for himself and his entire nation. God, show us special grace and favor so that our nation will become a blessing to other nations. And notice what he says. Verse 4, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the peoples righteously and govern the nations on the earth. Selah, stop, pause, think about that. Think about that. Does that sound like bad news or good news? I'll say it again. You shall judge, God will judge the people righteously and God will govern the nations on the earth. Does that sound like good news or bad news? You're right if you said good news. I mean, initially it may sound like bad news. Oh, God's going to judge. We always think judgment is bad. But I want you to turn over for a second to Psalm 96 because we need to think about this. Turn to Psalm 96. Psalm 96 begins, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth as a call to corporate worship, worldwide, universal worship. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. This is a call to everyone who knows the good news to make that good news known. And in part by singing. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. Make known all the great attributes of God. Proclaim his excellencies. Does that sound familiar? 1 Peter 2:9 says that's the reason God saved us and left us here, that we would proclaim his praises. Here's a command to do so. Why should we do it? Verse 4, Psalm 96, 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the earth. I'm sorry, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Now, remember the question we're answering here. Is it good news or bad news that God is going to judge the nations? Look at verse 10. Say among the nations, here's part of the good news you're going to proclaim. The Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples righteously. Unlike your current rulers. There is someone who one day is going to judge righteously. There's going to be a leader who's going to bring justice. He's going to be righteous. The wrongs will be made right. Spurgeon says, wrongdoing on the part of governors, politicians, leaders, and rulers is a source of national woe, and in every nation. You can go anywhere in the world and you can hear complaints about their politicians. Did you know that? If you've been in multiple countries, the conversation can very quickly come around to how unhappy they are with their governors, their leaders, their president, their whoever. Whoever's in charge. Everyone's unhappy with their leaders. Global. Part of the good news is, hey, it's not going to be that way forever. There's a God in heaven who reigns. And he one day is going to govern all the nations. You need to know him. You need to vote for him. You need to worship him. You need to submit yourself to him. It's part of the good news. Look again what it says, verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. Why? Why should everyone and everything rejoice? Because he's coming. To do what? He's coming to judge the earth. And he will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Good news! There is coming a true leader who will worship or who will reign in righteousness, and we should worship him. Go back now to Psalm 67 and think about what the psalmist is praying. God, verse 1, show special grace to us as a group. And bless us as a group. and cause His face to shine upon us as a group. Think about it. If only God would turn His ears to our prayers, His eyes to our problems, His mouth to give us guidance and wisdom, and then we could share it with others, right? We're not going to keep it to ourselves. So that His way might be known on the earth and His salvation among all the nations, and then what would happen? You'd have people praising God who didn't praise Him before. God, let it happen. Let the peoples praise You. Let all of them praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Let them sing for joy on account of the fact that You are going to judge the people righteously. And You're going to govern the nations on the earth righteously. Think about it. Verse 5, let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Then the earth shall yield her increase. Think about that. You know what that word means? Then there will be a great harvest. You think He's talking about zucchini? Pumpkins? No. Although, you get into the psalm, you start studying, like, oh, I see it. He wants there to be this outpouring from God of spiritual blessing so that we'll share it with others and they'll come to know the Lord. There'll be praise and worship and a spiritual harvest. And then you go to the commentaries on verse 6 and you say, well, it must be harvest time. He's talking about crops. No, He's not. He's talking about souls. Then the earth will yield her increase. Then there will be a harvest like we've never seen before. And God, start by blessing us. Man, that is, I was going to title it this way. I still like this title. Oddly evangelistic praying. What's so odd about it is like God is like, make it personal. God, bless me, show me Your special grace, and boy, make it abundant. Why? Well, so that I can share it. Give me a whole box of cookies so that there'll be enough for all the kids. I asked Miss Betty, could you bring a box of cookies so that there'll be enough for all the kids? She said, oh, yes. I said, but make it so that it's just for me. She put it on there. You couldn't see it. This is just for you, Pastor John. But option C was the right option, to share it, right? And hopefully they're up there enjoying peanut butter cookies, or they soon will be. And I hope I still get one. But I've had enough of those, I'm sure. This is oddly evangelistic praying. Bless us. It'll be good for the gospel. The gospel will be made known to the nations. It'll be good for the peoples. Many peoples will come to sing and praise You. It'll be good for You, God. People are going to praise You and glorify You because You deserve that. And it'll lead to a great spiritual harvest in the end. Well, we've seen the believer's prayer for blessing. That's verse 1. I hope you see his purposes in verses 2 through 6. And the purposes are, basically, that the gospel would be made known, that many people would be glad, that God would be glorified, and there'd be a great spiritual harvest in eternity. And now notice how it ends. Here comes the believer's promise that this prayer is definitely going to be answered. God, our own God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear Him. This is the psalmist leading his people saying, well, I'm going to pray that God is going to show special blessing to all of us. Know why? Because I know that if He shows His special blessing upon us, by the way, part of that blessing would be to give us a heart for the nations. Part of that blessing, when He shines His face upon us, will be to give us truth and heat, passion, to make His glory known to other peoples. And when He does that, His way is going to become known on the earth. His salvation is going to become known amongst the nations. The people are going to worship God. They're going to praise Him. They're going to rejoice and sing and be glad. God's going to be glorified. Everyone's going to be so happy that one day there's going to be a righteous governor, a righteous ruler. I'm going to keep praying that people will praise God. And I am so positive that this prayer that He bless us is pleasing to Him. I am so positive. I will tell you now with absolute confidence, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. He is going to show special grace to us. And as a result, people are going to come to fear Him. And that is a cool prayer. And it's the prayer of someone who has a heart like Christ's. This is oddly evangelistic yet beautifully Christ-like praying. Because did Christ have a heart for the nations? Oh yeah. Christ came, and at first he was sent only to the house of Israel, right? Only to the Jews. Then you see him going up north, Tyre and Sidon. Then you see him giving hints to his disciples that this gospel is going to spread. Then you see him crucified on the cross for our sins. You see him risen up from the dead, and you see him meet with his disciples, and he says, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Jesus Christ says, "I want the way of salvation made known to everybody. Do not keep this to yourselves. Take the blessing I've given to you and share it far and wide." What would that lead to? Happy people. A glorified God. A great harvest. Right? And good for us. Right? Because we can enjoy too. What do we do with this? What do we do with this? Well, as I said, all Scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. I think number one, this is the way to pray. This is the way to pray. It's okay to pray for blessing. You know, is it okay to pray that God would bless me? Yes, but why don't you pray that God would bless you, not just for you? Whenever you pray for blessing, why not pray that God will bless you for the sake of other people? Lord, bless me for their sake. Bless us to be a blessing to them. This is the way to pray. But this is also the way to think. The Spirit of God is showing us a way of thinking. Think, man, if God blessed me, that could lead to the furtherance of the gospel. That could lead to the joy of people. That could lead to the glory of God. That could lead to a great spiritual harvest. I'll come back to this question. Could God's blessings upon us be for the good of the gospel and the joy of many people and the praise and glory of God and a great spiritual harvest in eternity? What's the answer? Yes. So think that way and pray that way. And third, live that way. This is the way to live. The way to live is to, yes, pray for God's blessings upon your life, but then take those blessings and do not keep them to yourselves. And I will tell you that as a church, you are a beautiful example of that. You really are. If you didn't know that, you are. A significant portion of this church's budget goes to missions. Never have I seen it or even heard it where we've proposed supporting yet another missionary or proposed increasing support for a missionary, and somebody goes, "I don't like that idea of more support for missionaries. I don't like that. It just goes against something in my fiber." I've never heard that or anything remotely like that. I liked what Dan said. Go around and give a greeting and ask what was a blessing. I'll tell you one of the greatest blessings of my week. Some of you knew about it. Some of you didn't. We had a meeting here on Tuesday night. And that meeting was a talk about, praise the Lord, the Lord has blessed us with growth. We have more people now than we had. I think, 9 years ago we had about 50 to 60, and then 5 years ago we had about 80 to 90, and now we have about 140, plus minus. And the squeaky wheel gets the grease. I've been squeaking a little bit, saying, hey, there's a lot more work now, a lot more phone calls and texts and messages and emails and visits. And you know what? I won't tell you everything else, but one thing that we all concluded, we want to be careful what we do with the blessing financially that God has given this church, because we don't want to take anything away from those we support in missions. In fact, we'd like to do more. So that means let's run a lean ship. Let's run on largely volunteer service. And there's so many people in this church who are serving. Did you read the pastor's heart? Not yet. Well, hopefully you got one. If you didn't pick up a bulletin, you need to. And that was an outcome of Tuesday's meeting, too. I simply listed a bunch of questions, like, do you know who's serving like this, and who's serving here, and who's serving doing this? And see if you can answer those. Well, the bottom line is, a lot of people in this church are serving in so many ways. Which, you know what that does? It frees up us as a church to be able to support a lot of missionaries. I think next year we could do more for the nations. We could take more of the blessing that God has given us and do more for missions. So, beloved, this is the way to pray. This is the way to think. This is the way to live. That's the application. But I would be remiss if I didn't add one more thing. Take a look back again at verse 2. That your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all the nations. Did you know that God has a way? A way. God has a way. One way. It's not ways. If your Bible says ways, that's not right. It's way. And he only has one way of salvation. And long ago, 2,000 years ago, there came a person whose birth we celebrate at Christmas, whose death and resurrection we celebrate at Easter. There came into this world a person who said, I am the way. I am the way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the light. And no one comes to the Father except through me. We're on this side of the cross. The psalm writer was on that side of the cross. We're on this side of the cross. We can look back and say, listen, God bless us so that your way, namely Jesus Christ, would become known on the earth. So that your salvation, namely Jesus Christ, would become known among all the nations. Because he is the way. So this is the way to pray. Pray that God would bless you so that Christ would be made known. And if you're here this morning and you do not know the way of salvation, you've never been saved, your sins aren't forgiven, don't die in that condition. Jesus said one time, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. You know what that means? That means unless you believe that Jesus Christ is eternal God, you will die in your sins and you will not be saved. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is eternal God and that he is the Savior. And if you're here today and you don't know that Jesus is eternal God, or you deny that truth, maybe somebody listening online, you're a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon, you're somebody who's lost, listen, I have good news for you. God, the God of heaven, came into this world, took on flesh and blood, lived a sinless life among us, and then died a sacrificial death on the cross to pay the price for all of our sins. And whoever believes in him receives forgiveness of sins and is saved. You just need to humble yourself today and say, Lord, have mercy on me. You could pray this verse 1. You could say, God, show your special grace to me and bless me and shine your face upon me. And you know what? You'll be saved. If you pray in faith to God for salvation, he will save you. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will never be put to shame. I can't see any reason for anyone to leave this place today without Christ. So if you came here without Jesus Christ, don't leave without him. Let's pray. Father, we do pray, and I pray on behalf of this flock. Show us your special grace, Father. Be merciful to us. Bless us. Cause your face to shine upon us. Yes, that we may rejoice in your blessing, but Father, that we may share it with others, that your way might become known on the earth, and that your salvation would become known among all the nations. I pray this in faith, knowing that you will do it. In Jesus' name, amen.